My face currently feels like I've been run through by Tom Stewart.
Puts it to the top of the square. Oh, beautiful little fist in there by Dale. Crucial centimetre moments.
He definitely has a bit of the Belcho spirit. as I have a bit of the Belcho spirit.
Hello and welcome to the podcast that just got nothing right this week. Nothing right, nothing went right, nothing makes sense. What's football?
Football's a competition where I drop from first to fifth in the tipping
across ranking. The course of the weekend.
Yeah, it just progressively got worse. I was one ahead of everyone and I went, I'm going to tip north.
Yeah, that was not good. There was a particular passage of that game where every disposal missed the target and North still couldn't turn it over.
Hawthorn
got
it
inside 50 and got a free kick for holding the ball 20 metres out. And I was watching and I was like, this is bad football.
We turned it off.
Really bad football. You can't watch that.
Also, this podcast is called The Back Pocket, not The Podcast.
Yeah, it's The Back Pocket. Yeah, I didn't get to that part. The podcast that gave up. The little
just
podcast
like North.
That couldn't. Imagine if North had just not drafted Jason Horne-Francis.
Yeah, they should have drafted Nick Daicos.
Well, they should have at least tried, frankly. Yeah. Anyway, what's your one vote? Oh, I guess we'll run through the thing.
Why do we do the votes? What are the votes about?
What are the votes about? Well, the votes are for the best defender in the competition, and each week we vote 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1 for the best defenders of the week based on actual defensive acts like intercepts and spoils and fun little things like that.
And or vibes.
And or vibes.
Speaking of vibes, my one vote this week goes to Jordan Boyd.
Jordan Boyd.
Don't look at his stats. They don't look nice.
Oh, I won't. You're not going to read about either?
No, I don't have any stats for Boyd. The main reason Boyd gets a vote for me is his job on Toby Green.
Yep.
And mainly just the fact that he completely frustrated him. It's been a while since we've seen Toby Green get really stroppy. And it was really good to watch. Mm. So, thumbs up. Love his nail polish. His effort.
Green gave away that free and 50 as captain, I was like, what are you doing, Green?
Yep.
Which is the fear everyone had when they made Green captain, frankly. But yeah, no, I get that. Vibes. Beat Toby Green,
totally
wear the
vibes.
Nail polish.
I think he
stuff.
No, I looked it up. He didn't have a single contested defensive one-on-one. So, one vote.
My one vote this week is to Mitchell Hinge, who floated in and out of my one vote spot over the weekend. He had 26 disposals, 7 intercepts, 6 contested, 4 marks and 1 intercept, 5 spoils, 5 tackles, 6 rebound 50s, won his only contested defensive one-on-one, 12 defensive half pressure acts, and 632 metres gained.
It's pretty good.
He tried.
Who's Mitchell Hinge?
He plays for Adelaide.
I'm kidding.
In the back line, he tried to win them the game.
Yeah.
Their back line held up so well. Hmm. Their midfield collapsed. Essendon's midfield absolutely destroyed them, and their back line did everything it could to hold them in that game.
It's really interesting to see swings and roundabouts, right? So Essendon got their absolute ass handed to them by Port Adelaide's midfield, and then they made Adelaide's midfield look silly.
Yeah.
And obviously they were missing Crouch.
Really.
So yeah, weird stuff. Football's weird. Mitchell Hinge is good. We'll talk more about Adelaide's defence later.
All right. Absolutely. Who is your two?
My two votes goes to Leek Alia.
In my special mentions this week. Didn't quite get one in. But yeah, he was very, very good. He's long.
Yes, he's very lanky. He can reach around people. Ahaha. And he can spoil like crazy. He had 10 spoils in the first half, 13 for the game. He locked down Harry Mackay for that entire first half. Unfortunately, game got away from him while he was on the bench.
That was it, right? When he was on the bench and Himmelberg had to play on Mackay, the game was lost.
Yep. 5 goals to those key forwards, and Leek Alia couldn't really wrestle it back after that.
Yeah.
Not his fault. Still worthy of 2, because in a game like that where you get 13 spoils, basically holding that back line together
did
in his, what, fifth game?
Covering for Taylor's absence. He was such an early pick for them. Like, they clearly had such high hopes. And we know tall players take a little while to develop. But from what I saw on the weekend, he'd be in a lot of teams' back lines right now.
Oh, I remember when the game started and they said, we think he can come in and do the job. And I was like, well, it's a big ask.
Yeah,
but
for a fifth
was nailing
line.
It.
Go on.
So,
good on him. My two was to Tom Brass. He copped a 5 coaches this week. Good bloke, hopefully. We'll see how that goes. That got shifted to tomorrow morning for a tribunal.
So new Toby Green would take too long.
And Hogan got off punching someone in the face. Anyway, Tom Brass. had 15 disposals, 7 of those were intercepts and 7 contested, 11 marks, 6 of those were intercepts, 5 contested, 6 spoils, 2 rebound 50s, 2 score involvements and a score launch, and Freo's forward line could not do much that game. Tom Brass was really, really good. We know he's good. It's good to see him moving freely, really.
Probably helps that Amos went down and they didn't have that as a threat up there, which really, really neutered them. Jackson's not a forward, and you can't have...
They looked so much better when he was in the ruck.
Can't have Tracy as your main forward. No. Doesn't work. Tabs was out. Yeah. So they might be playing a debutante this week.
And the Bulldogs have such a good back line at the moment that it's going to be a worry to see how Freo go. Like the way that Karmas and Jones have been performing down there without Amos, they'll be in a bit of trouble, I think. But.
And then the ancillary defenders, they're all doing well at the Bulldogs, except maybe Ed Richards having a bit of a down patch.
He played in the middle.
Played in the middle.
More centre bounce attendances than McRae.
Classic Bevo move.
Had never had one before the weekend.
So don't if Ed Richards looks like a fantasy gun because he's playing mid, don't pick him.
Don't fall for the trap. Who's your 3?
Adelaide player Josh Worrell.
Josh Worrell, very,
right
very
now,
good.
I am doing 3 players, 0 votes so far from the back pocket ever.
That's good. I like that.
Will it keep up? No.
I think Hinge got a special mention a few weeks ago without getting a vote.
I think Hinge got votes last year for sure.
Yeah, I like Hinge. Anyway,
Worrell, I thought, was really, really solid. Without him, I think they lose by a few more goals. He had 10 pressure acts and 10 spoils, and he won 4 out of his 5 contested defensive one-on-ones. Look at me, I Googled something.
Okay.
So I think he did really well in the back line, considering their midfield was pants and they had to hold up.
I would show you, and I know, but you don't need proof. Here's there on my little list of special, special mentions.
I don't believe you. Show me. No, don't do it.
I'll do it. I won't do it. That's way too hard. My 3 votes this week was to Ben McKay.
I had his name
had
written
a lot
down.
Of special mentions from earlier this year. He's finally stuck in the list. I think he had a really good game. He only got the 1 coach's vote, which surprised me.
That did make me laugh. I feel like Brad Scott's just penciled him in for 1 every week and just doing it.
And then Nick's just like, can't be him. Tex should have had that goal at the end. 11 disposals, 9 of those were intercepts, which is a crazy intercept rate. 5 contested, 3 marks, 2 intercepts, 5 spoils, 1 is only one-on-one. Mm-hmm. 2 score involvements of both launches. He is coming into... We knew, he got plenty of votes when he was at North from us.
Yeah.
He's really, I think, finding his rhythm in that back line. Their back line played better around him on the weekend, which
it also helps that their midfield wasn't getting pantsed.
Yes.
That definitely helps
difference.
Him.
I mean...
Look at how he went against Port as opposed to when his midfield could
when
get
he had
on top.
A horrifying number of one-on-ones against Port. It was like 15 or something.
Like 74.
Crazy. But yes, Ben McKay. 4 from you? 4 from you?
4 from me. My 4 votes goes to Jack Henry.
Really? Okay.
From the Geelong Football Club.
I did think he was really good. Are we going to go a full 5 and 5? Let's see. We might.
No, I doubt it. Jack Henry... You could have thrown this vote to Baby Guth as well, but one of the Henrys had a good game, and it wasn't Ollie.
And he kicked half as many goals as the entire Brisbane team.
He had 9 spoils, 10 pressure acts, kept Brisbane's forward line pretty much ineffectual alongside Guthrie and SDK. Stewart was down. I thought Henry played probably his best game for the season.
I agree. He was really, really good. Those defenders adapted so well to the wet weather.
Absolutely.
Spoiling straight down the ground outside the 50 and things like that was really good.
It's the kind of maturity you get from a team that has won a premiership.
Yes.
Simple as that.
Yeah, Jack Henry was in my special mentions, as was, I'll say it now because I'm not going to get him in there, Tom Atkins. He didn't spend much time in the back line, but when he did, Cameron could not touch the ball. He basically just tagged a forward. I thought Henry was really good. My 4 votes was to who might be your 5, was Bailey Dale.
Yeah, that's my 5.
Was an incredible game. He 39 at 92.
It's really hard to not give him 5. I'm so interested to who your 5 is.
39 at 92, 13 intercepts, 7 contested, 15 marks, 6 intercepts, 1 contested, 6 rebound 50s.
He won both of his defensive one-on-ones.
What
else could he have done for you?
10 defensive power pressure acts, 867 metres gained, 9 score involvements, 5 score launches.
They were playing St Kilda, but who have you given 5?
I've given 5 to the person you just mentioned.
Baby Guth?
Baby Guth.
Okay.
I think he was... When Stewart went down, he had to take over that role completely. I thought he was brilliant. He got 8 coaches votes for that game as well. Stengel had such a great game, you could not give it to him.
Coaches votes.
Yeah.
Thought we were still talking about defenders.
No.
That'd be a nightmare.
Yeah, Stengel had the coaches votes of that game because when you play a game like that in the wet, whatever. But yeah, Guthrie was phenomenal. He had 20 disposals in the wet, 8 intercepts, 6 contested, 4 marks. 2 of those were intercepts. won all three of his one-on-ones, 8 rebound 50s, 737 metres gained, and 3 score of involvements that were all launches. It's nothing made of Dale for me, just based on the pressure that was on him, I think, by comparison. I think if you'd told anyone leading into that game that neither Cameron or Cameron would score, and none of...
You could have just said neither Cameron will score.
Yeah, neither Cameron would score, or and none of Hawkins, Hipwood, or Danaher would kick a goal. Crazy idea.
Well, the weather didn't help. What no, a dour, horrible game
to I think
game to
most
watch.
Of them had better games than Ollie Henry, who kicked 2 goals.
He did look terrible in the wet, but somehow he just ends up on the end of them. That's how he kicked 40 goals last year.
And, like, it's so crazy to think that someone who spent their whole junior career playing football in Geelong could be that bad in wet weather.
I mean, it does rain everywhere in the world, Jack.
It does, but Geelong is renowned for being wet.
If you say so.
I not just I say so.
I've never heard anyone else say it.
Really?
No, of course I haven't.
My other special mentions are Billy Frampton, Nick Martin.
Darcy Moore.
Dick Martin has a little note that says, please learn to kick.
Did you say Dick Martin?
No. But okay. I do during the game say Dick Farton. I just had a please learn to kick, because you can't get votes from me if you're kicking at 52.
Yeah.
That's just not great. Josh Worrell, obviously we already mentioned. Mac Andrew in my special mentions again, as well as Liam Jones.
Liam Jones and Darcy
Liam
Moore,
Jones is
right?
So good.
Darcy Moore doesn't get
Darcy
a special
Moore's
mention?
Yeah, okay. He and Frampton did a great job in that back line.
Yeah.
And I think that really turned the game on its head as well.
Absolutely, it did.
They took advantage of there being no Dixon, and it really worked.
I think that was Moore's best game for the season, in my opinion. Yeah. He still didn't get a vote from me because I was going off vibes.
Getting close. All right. The segment you enjoyed doing last week.
God, we're not doing Pokemon again, are we?
Quick thought. No, we're doing Digimon. No.
I could do that one.
Quick thoughts on the weekend's games. St Kilda Bulldogs.
Jesus, St Kilda, learn to score.
Season over, St Kilda?
They're looking like a bottom four side, to be honest.
Adelaide Essendon.
Essendon, are you good? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. Essendon were definitely the better team. That also should have been a free kick. That's my 2 takeaways from that game. Essendon probably should have won by 6
Essendon
goals.
Should have won by 6 goals. So it's not a matter of Adelaide robbed.
Collingwood Port.
Jesus, Port. That's not a good look.
Port have won every first quarter this year. They have not won every game this year.
I did see that from Swamp. Port need to figure out their identity now. They're lost.
They love having a balls-out midfield mix. And then as soon as they need to defend, they realise, we've got a balls-out midfield mix.
Yep.
And it falls apart.
They consistently beat up on those smaller, younger sides and then fall apart when the pressure comes. And that's what happens in finals as well for them.
Or they play a Melbourne or a Collingwood.
It's still happening. it's a worry.
It looks like Collingwood's out of their slumber, though. I think it's fair to...
Yeah.
The Brisbane game made me go, all right, you get the premiership matchup, it's always a bit whatever. That game showed me they're awake, they're here, they're back.
If they play like that for the rest of the season, they'll go a long way.
Oh, for sure. We've already talked about Brisbane's running to finals, they're a good chance of making the 8 as well.
Those are the two
they've
missing outside of the 8 that probably sneak in.
Such a hard draw to start the season.
Yeah.
Carlton GWS. I think you gave up on football at about 3-minute mark of the second quarter.
Just for a second, I saw Lewis Young do exactly what Sam Draper did. He jumped directly on top of a ball, and I said, I'm out. I'm done with football. They didn't pay it.
No, it was crazy.
They were like, we're calling those off the weekend.
In, door closed, door open, walk
I didn't even close the door.
My
one thought is, midfields are good sometimes.
Midfields are good sometimes. I think that we saw that Carlton were better able to cover their losses than... GWS were Cogs and Taylor. I think almost more importantly, we saw the leadership missing from Cogs was a big thing, especially with Green being the way he was.
Yeah.
They really needed
Cogs. And that could have been part of it, having Taylor and Canelio could have helped to bring that down, whereas Carlton still had, despite missing half their best 22...
Still had their whole leadership group.
Whole leadership group there.
Weaver and Cripps, Walsh, all in the team.
My real thing is... Tom Green needs to learn to play against another ball.
Yes, he
got beaten by Steele, he got
beaten by
Cripps,
got beaten by Rao. So he's good. Yeah, again, we talked about the fourth thing. He's good at beating up on the smaller midfields. He's struggling when he comes up against someone as good as him.
Yeah.
So he'll learn to handle that. But at the moment, that's a big hole for them.
That's a lot of first thoughts.
Brisbane Geelong.
Wet.
Horrible game. I mean, you can't blame either team. Well, you can blame Brisbane, actually.
Yeah. Brisbane said we handballed it a bit too much.
You kicked it a bit too much.
You kicked it too much.
You tried to chip it instead of bombing it down the ground.
I don't think they learnt the right lessons from that, which does worry me for them. But the quick thoughts, horrible game, never watching it again.
Yeah. Geelong players just soccering it off the ground 50 metres and you're like, that's what you do. Like, that's the, just get it forward.
Yep.
The Hawkins Torp that was ended up being the winning goal assist that Stengel marked in goal.
Oh, that's I do remember that.
Just get it in there.
Yeah.
West Coast Freo.
Awesome.
Crazy West
Loved
Coast.
Watching that.
We talked about this last week. I said that West Coast's run and gun style might conflict with Freo's defensive style. I never thought it was going to happen like that.
No. And I feel bad because I know a lot of Fremantle supporters and watching that would have been rubbish.
But when you take such joy in rubbing it into West Coast the last few years, cop that one, I guess.
For sure. But it's got to be a real kick in the teeth when the start of this year looked so promising. Obviously, 2 years ago, they made finals. Not great times for Fremantle at the moment. And with the up and down, so you start to think...
When you lose just two good teams in such close games, you go, well, that's right, you can recover from that. But then you come home and you lose to a team that's expected. It's still expected bottom four, really, despite looking a lot better than they did last year. In that way, that's worrying.
It's terrible, and I'm concerned that they need a release. Going from playing under Lyon to Longmuir, just ultra defensive. They need to be let loose.
Yeah,
I think
they've got such attacking mids.
Yeah,
it's a waste, and their forward line's so flashy as well.
Yeah, and they are missing some of that. I don't think Fredericks played on the weekend. So there is improvement to come for them, but it's not a great sign.
Sydney, Gold Coast.
Boring. Sydney are good.
My thoughts on that were Sydney are good, Gold Coast can't win away from home. That's the real Dimmer effect. That's what he took with
him. Oh, he took him with the Marvel Stadium issue.
Yeah. Can't leave Carrara.
Interesting.
They're like three games away from Carrara and they've lost all three pretty
much. Maybe that could be a coaching issue, but I think Gold Coast have always been a bit like that.
I mean, that was the whole last season.
Yeah, kind of boring. Didn't learn a lot from it except Sydney.
I'm not even going to mention the next one. We'll just move away from...
Hawthorn North? Yeah. North should be disbanded.
Yeah, they are going to be, because they're not going to win 9 games this year. They're going to be the worst team in history by the end of this run.
Yeah.
They should have moved to Tasmania when they had the chance.
If they win 9 games, I will be screaming applause on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
If they win 9 games Clark's in a row... I'll call
the greatest coach of all time.
I'll forgive his racism.
I won't go that far.
No, I'm kidding, of course. Official back pocket podcast does not condone racism. Where's that little Australian government announcer when you need him?
Especially if watching this. My terrible headline, and will be the title of the episode, is Read It and Weep, but R-E-I-D.
It's terrible.
West Coast number one pick silences Flagmantle talk.
Yeah, Flagmantle's dead after that, right?
R.I.P. Flagmantle.
They can still make the eight, but they're not doing damage.
No. I think, like we talked about it the other day, like it really looks like the top six are going to play finals and are Brisbane and Collingwood going to join them? Is that just it?
Although you do wonder, obviously last year was a bit of an anomaly with GWS and Carlton coming back from horrible starts. Do you think something like that might become more of a norm, or was that just a really weird one?
I think it was weird in the way that we saw how Carlton started the year and GWS had a horrible injury run.
Yeah.
So did Carlton, obviously.
Yeah.
But we saw that they both had it. Whereas I think this year, the only two teams that we can be confident had it is Collingwood and Brisbane, Collingwood at least proved on the weekend they are still a very good side. And Brisbane, I think we've still seen enough from to show that they can get back up there. So I think other than those two, I'm not expecting anyone to storm in.
I mean, can we potentially see Port drop out, or do they have too many home games they'll win?
I think they've got a good enough draw. I think Gold Coast, if they're not in now, could go in. They've got a very easy draw coming. And we've got Bulldogs and Essendon who are so unpredictable in there. I think they're the ones that are likely to drop out if they do. So outside of that, weird at round six to feel...
It feels like you've eliminated half the league.
Last year we were watching it like, this is so even. Anyone could move in except for maybe West Coast and North. And you're watching this year like, oh.
You got to exclude Hawthorn last year, but
Well, at the start you didn't. North and Hawthorn won their first two games each. They're looking good.
Oh yeah, weren't Hawthorn undefeated like round three or something? Yeah, you're right.
And we're like, oh wow, Jath and Day and Sicily, amazing. Pops and flops.
Oh, I hate this section.
You hate this section?
Yeah, because I have to think really hard. Pops. Can we say Pops Harley first? Reid for the third week in a row?
Yeah,
I'm going
to say Harley Reid for the third week in a row. Yeah, it's in there for me. You have to, right? Harley Reid.
Harley Reid is a pop for me.
One of my pops was Lee Kalia. You've already given him votes now. But
totally fine.
Really, really good.
I will say then Jack McRae playing in his position.
Crazy. Pop. McRae and Dale?
Ooh. Yeah. One more pop each?
Yeah. My other pop was Geelong's back line against that the Gabba forward line at the Gabba, keeping those three goalless.
I don't know if we've done him as a pop yet.
Zorka had to kick half their goals up half back.
That was funny. I'm just going to say Isaac Heaney.
Pop. He could be on 12 to 15 Brownlow votes already.
I think he's on 15 Brownlow votes.
It's crazy.
I think he's got three voters in a row.
I think the problem with the players who've been better than him is that they're defenders and ruckmen. Like, it's hard. They're not the ones that get the votes from umpires. So he probably won't get three in the Richmond game, but he will probably get one. And in every other game, I think he gets three.
It's crazy. Flops. please say it.
What? Jackson forward?
Oh, okay. That is a flop.
What was your flop?
I was going to say Draper.
He did flop. He flopped. I didn't have him in there because it's the umpiring decision that's the flop there. Or non-decision.
Yeah. Don't dive directly onto a ball. It will be holding the ball every round from now on. They will crack down on that.
Yeah. The Gabatoir.
Oh, Gabba is a fortress being dead.
Not a fortress anymore. That's three out of three they've lost.
Those are your three flops? You're going with those?
And North Melbourne.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you forgot one. That was my last one.
Yeah, North. Bad. Really, really bad. That was your one chance, North. That was your game.
Can't rely on West Coast later in the year.
No, especially, is it here? That'd be terrible. Shocking. embarrassing for North,
frankly. That'll surprise someone, I think.
I've given each game this week a cup name or a shield name.
That's a terrible...
If you can think of better ones. I want to do the most obscure player that's... we actually know from each team.
Like, played for both?
Yeah. So, Richmond Melbourne, I've got the David Roden Shield.
terrible.
Essendon Collingwood, I've got the Richard Cole Trophy.
What decides whether it's a trophy or a shield?
Oh, just the ring of it.
Vibe.
Yeah. GWS Brisbane's the Luke Power Cup.
I like the Luke Power Cup.
Port St Kilda's the Brent Guerra Cup.
Terrible.
I was trying to think of Brent Guerra, and I said someone else who also had that bald but with the patch at the front here. I can't remember who I said instead. Oh, that's the wrong guy. Oh, Josh Franco. North Melbourne Adelaide's the Hugh Greenwood Shield for me.
Yeah, gotta be.
I did joke originally and call it the Wayne Carey Mace. Geelong Carlton's the Darcy Lane Cup. I think. That's
I thought it would be the Billy Smets Cup.
Oh, Smets was the other one I thought of. There's been a few.
Couple of clunkers there. Thank God Fogarty turned out.
Fremantle Bulldogs, the Hayden Crozier Trophy.
Oh, I love Crozier.
It was he or Simpkin.
No? Simpkin?
What's his name?
Who are you talking about?
Played for... He's on Freo's list still. He's a defender.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Gold Coast West Coast is the Tom Hickey Cup.
Oh, that's fair enough.
And Hawthorn Sydney is the Tom Mitchell Trophy.
Got to be Tom Mitchell.
Anyway, who's your game of the week?
Oh, Hawthorn Sydney, of course. Hawthorn Sydney? 100%.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
No. It's Collingwood Essendon.
Yeah, right. Big game for both teams.
Yep. Essendon are better in points on the and ladder position. Collingwood are in better form. Who knows which Essendon will show up. If they get smashed on Anzac Day by Collingwood, they're just going to be also
as they've
ran.
Been known to do.
If they compete, and especially if they win...
Shame on anyone who'd boo a champion.
Could put them in 7th or 8th for the year.
I think Geelong Carlton, the back pocket cup.
Back pocket cup. I thought you said it was the Darcy Lang shield or something like that.
I think that game really sets the tone for both teams.
Yep.
Both of them just need to be close. I don't think they either, like, obviously both would prefer to win it. I don't think either of them need to win it. They're in a good enough position to start the season.
Depends on the style of loss. Yes. So the last two games between these two, especially, weird that they've only played each other
once a season.
But the first time it was the big two going against big two.
Curnow and Cameron.
Curnow and Mackay got pretty much held ineffectual. I think Curnow at least kicked a goal, but Geelong's defence smothered them. And then on the repeat match the next year, Hawkins was fucked.
Yeah.
He couldn't move, so he was destroyed. I think Cameron still kicked five.
Yeah,
but the Carlton forwards both got away.
It was Geelong played, I think it was like Carlton and Collingwood in back-to-back weeks, and Cameron was the only thing almost winning them the game.
Yeah, it was. You were really worried about it.
Yeah,
and it kind of went throughout the whole season.
Both teams this year are much better balanced.
It's interesting to see how that midfield battle will work, because on paper that Carlton midfield shreds them.
Yes.
And if that is the case and they're getting that forward handball to Walsh, it's not going to suit those Geelong defenders, but those Geelong defenders are incredible.
I think O'Connor goes to Walsh straight off the bat.
It's a hard tag for him. It's a different type of player.
It is. I think he did such a good job on Neil, like letting Neil get the ball, but he did nothing. He was totally ineffectual. Yeah. And a few of his handballs probably should be taken from him.
For my fantasy team, can he not do that?
Yeah, I mean, mine too, frankly.
I don't care about your fantasy team.
And then, like, obviously the forward and back line matchups are really interesting again. Hawkins has been well held by bigger players this year. Jones did it, and obviously Andrews did it again, so that's one to watch. But then, like, how do you stop Cameron? How do you stop Kerner? Like, it's always the problem.
Interesting one. Do you trust Kemp to do a job on Cameron? Because he is athletic.
Yeah.
And he's prone to make mistakes, but I would rather someone who's trying over someone maybe like a Lewis Young who will be beaten around the ground.
And, like, with Geelong, it's like, do you put Guthrie to Kerner, who's probably the best matchup, body size and athleticism? But with Stewart out, you can't sacrifice Guthrie's intercept game. So, like, that's the question. It'll probably be Henry in that case, who's probably not fast enough. It's tricky, I think, for both sides to find those right matchups.
I think you can rotate through those, because Colo could do it as well.
He's definitely not fast enough.
Hmm.
And Colo seems the matchup.
Most of Kerno's goals from this year have been from balls that have dropped to his feet. He just picks it up and somehow pops it through.
Ridiculous.
So they should be wary of that. If they're any chop, that defence. So it does shape up to be one of the better games of the round, but whenever we say that, it fucking sucks.
Yes.
So I'm picking Hawthorn, Sydney.
Gold Coast, West Coast. they're going to prove that they're not just Harley Reid.
If he doesn't play.
If the rumour come out. Does Harley Reid...
Read the whole article. What was that about? Some loophole making him a $1 million man?
I don't know. I didn't click it because I don't care.
I'll ask Zaid later. He'll know.
I saw a thing where, like, the West was like, we warned you. It's like, no, everyone knew he was good, the West Australian. We just thought you were weird.
You thought he was terrible.
I don't think he was
terrible. No, not you. Oh, the West.
The West, yeah.
The West were putting up articles about why won't they trade away pick one? They could get three players for the price of one.
And then when they got him, they're like, he's the greatest thing ever. It's like, we didn't think he wasn't good.
They just don't need a sports
anyone
department.
Anyone who pays attention to his cult here knew.
This is the only time I will ever advocate for AI. Replace the West sport department with AI.
You definitely could have replaced Peter Sumich with AI. And I reckon you could replace Glenn Quartermain with AI.
How so, Sumer?
Wonder how he's doing.
He's pissed.
Oh, yeah. He's been pissed for years. Freo knocked him back for coaching job for Ross Lyon, and then West Coast knocked him back for Adam Simpson. So he moved to the West Australian to start writing hit pieces every week.
Do you reckon he's like...
And then he got sacked for not being allowed to be angry anymore.
I might be...
Like Summer.
Being inflammatory here, but maybe he's courting the, like, the small AFL fan base on, like, Truth Social or something.
He can hang out there. Grant Thomas, just being the, like, online, used to have credibility guy that some people are like, oh, he was a coach once. Like, yeah, and he was insane.
They're all insane, Jack.
Oh, yeah. Like, to be a coach. Remember that, like, week one with Selwood, like, the one thing of value he's given, where they were like, you know, with him, like...
We're surprised you're not coaching. He goes, I would be stupid.
I'm not stupid enough for that. Like, thumbs up. Like, when Brad Scott went back to coaching.
He had the cushiest AFL job,
man. I only had a couple of notes this week. One was that even the AFL can't appoint people who aren't just boys club adjacent. I don't know if you... Notice.
Tell me more. I don't know,
like,
anything.
The new head of the AFLW came from NAB.
What's NAB?
NAB. The bank, which means she may or may not be at least partially responsible for those awful ads.
Mm.
Do you know how she got the job?
I'm assuming boys club.
Her daughters play football with Dill's daughters. He just hired his friend.
At least it's a woman?
Yeah, but like...
It's always going to be...
It's jobs for buds. Like, Dill was found in the room next door. Gil was found in the room next door.
Yeah.
He's just found her down at the local footy club.
Whoever is next will be found in the room next door.
Absolutely.
And they will get the booklet on how to handle controversy, which is put it in a shredder and move on.
Yeah. It's like the Finlayson stuff. Like, at the...
Yeah.
Predicted to a T. Because... The AFL is so predictable when it comes to controversy. If they've already dealt with it in some way, they don't care if it changes or gets worse. They're like, oh, we dealt with it. So
the only reason anything came down with Essendon is because
there were bodies
involved that had to bring down the hammer. If the AFL were in charge, nothing would have happened.
Absolutely.
All of those players would have continued to play.
We know that. Like, I think anyone knows that. And my other one note is, what are your thoughts on, and I know someone asked someone at West Coast about this the other day, I can't remember who, but on non-Victorian sides playing away brackets. So where instead of having, like G-Boys did it last year, but I think it was by coincidence. But like instead of having the home away fly, they do at the moment, having like two games in Melbourne, or three games in Melbourne, a game in Adelaide, and then you come back to Perth and play four games. Or Sydney doing the same. Like they'll have two in Brisbane, three in Melbourne, go back to Sydney, play five games at the SCG.
In general, I have no issue with it. So, for example, if you're still giving everyone the same amount of kind of home and away stuff, like one trip to WA playing two games here is different to travelling here at the start of the season and travelling here at the end of the season. Yeah. And if it reduces the travel on WA and Brisbane sides especially, all for it.
Yeah.
Mostly WA sides. But what? How many miles did Mundy...
Oh, it was incredible.
Like kilometres fly.
As well, like an insane...
It's records that will never be beaten.
Yeah.
And I think anything we can do, like they obviously played for a very long time. Not every player's Mundy.
No.
Could you imagine being Sanderlands and having to do that flight
every
week?
Well, I was saying about like you notice that Geelong didn't take Reece Stanley as often interstate now. And it didn't take Brisbane again because his knees... don't want to be on a plane for that long. Mm. And you wouldn't at that size when you got bad knees.
Especially if you want to be playing football like next week. Nat Nui
was similar. We even saw West Coast do it with Hearn across the end of his career. And like the longer trips might help with that. Like if you go over there at the start of the week, you get everything set in place and you spend 4 weeks there, those players might be able to play more of those
four
games.
4 weeks is a lot though.
It is. And that's the only down factor, right? Is that like you're away from your house and your bed for 4 weeks. And a lot of them have young families and stuff like
especially
that.
Especially like... and then there's also the fact that how do you justify that? Like, you can only bring a Victorian team to WA for two games. They can only play two teams here.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, they wouldn't have to do the brackets, though, because they could just fly in, fly out like they normally do. Like, you just have one Victorian team fly over and play here and then fly home and then play their next five games in Victoria like they do anyway.
You're going to have Victoria teams fly over and just play both teams and then go back?
You could do that, but I would think that because of the way that Perth Stadium usually works, and they play one game here a weekend, you'd have Freo on West Coast do opposing blocks.
If you play two games,
yeah. You could, for sure.
If you can play fucking 18 games on Marvel in...
Well, we saw the COVID bubbles work.
Hmm.
I don't know if you should play any games on Marvel the last few weeks looking at that service.
Look at how many Carlton players are injured. how many soft tissue injuries there are at Essendon.
Where there was a mark taken against Treloar in the first quarter... And it was just because Treloar tried to follow the person leading for the ball and he just fell over backwards. Mm. The Marvel surface, like, it has to be because it's owned by the AFL.
I think it's just because of concerts, right?
It's not, I mean, but why it's not talked about as much as it used to be.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
They've said, BT, you can say whatever you want.
Just about handies.
You can say anything about handies at Tullamarine, but don't mention the surface.
Jack Payne, who likes planes, sitting in the car, Tullamarine, with handies.
That's one of the weirdest things that's ever happened.
I'm trying to like think about what he was saying, and I can't think of anything else he could have meant.
I like to imagine he was turning to Brayshaw, wherever the fuck they were casting from. He's just raising his eyes up and down, eyebrows up and down.
I'm just not quite as good as Kelly Underwood's. And leading out from full forward and taking the mark is...
She had to wait till 2036 to give the player's name.
That'd be 2026 for her. The state of commentary is so poor, which makes me wonder if like that's why we really like people like Papalia and Hill. Like if they're just
people who take their job
what
seriously.
We should just expect like that should be the standard.
Yeah.
But instead, we think they're amazing because the standard is so low.
And thankfully, Papalia doesn't have to hang out with enough of those crazy Melbourneites because he's here. He doesn't fall into the trappings like Hutto has.
And that's, you think, why possibly another reason why speed has stayed so okay as well. But, like, just hire commentators to commentate. Football or special comments, commentators can commentate.
Yeah. Problem is, the special commentators have the charisma of a fucking wet lettuce leaf. Joel Selwood
and Hodge delivering the most flat-lined...
At least Hodge serves it back sometimes.
Daisy was great, but now she's coaching, so she can't do anything.
Daisy Thomas is okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's dire.
It's dire.
We talk about this every fucking
week.
We
do. But, like, yeah, there's the rare one, like a committee or whatever, who was a player who is good at commentary, but it's so few and far between.
There's good callers on radio. Poach them.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to cost them money, though. That's the problem, right?
But then again, we've talked about the fact that they want the radio callers to call worse when they're on the TV, so there's another issue that's unresolved and will never be resolved.
They should listen to this podcast. We have at least 10 listeners.
West Coast did. They just put a poppy on the Anzac jumper. Just a poppy.
And we applaud them.
That's how you do an Anzac. That's much better. I couldn't believe it when I saw it today. I saw someone posting it to talk shit about it.
I love that your first thought was, they listen to our podcast.
I mean, I jokingly say that all the time.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Like when they used the pressure cooker thing for Ken Hinckley a couple of years ago after I was literally using a pressure cooker on the podcast.
That was funny. Didn't it explode?
Yeah.
Good times. That's in our top 10 Nick Dacos podcast
COVID,
moments.
COVID times. But yeah, theirs was good. Someone was like, oh, you know, when you didn't do your homework and you do it at the last minute. I was like, no, this is just what it should be. Even though poppies are a Remembrance Day thing. That's fine. We won't. That's a whole other...
It works.
Can of fish.
Better than the Adelaide one, which people are loving.
They love it. Even though it looks like a weird Power Rangers jumper with a bugle man in the middle.
I thought you were about to say bagpipe man.
I was going to say, that'd be cooler.
That wouldn't be Anzac Day.
What team could do a tartan kit? It's probably only Adelaide.
Adelaide could do it. Bulldogs could do it.
Yeah, Bulldogs could do it. St Kilda could do it. Especially if they went with the 1926 St Kilda kit.
Fremantle could do it if they went back to their original colours.
Oh yeah, they could. That'd look really good actually. That'd look like one of those fucking school pencil cases.
Mm.
I'd get around that. It's got to be a tricolour team. I guess Gold Coast could do it.
I was about to say, when's the last time you had a pencil case? I have a pencil case. Move on. Move on.
Is it tartan?
No, it's a frog. Oh.
All right. Well, that's a great place to leave it for the week. We derailed it very quickly from Anzac Day jumpers to frog pencil cases.
Please support us anywhere you can so I can buy more frog pencil cases.
I think the thing people care most about is my little ratings that I post every week, which got so messed up this week because teams lost with their backline performing really well and teams won with their forward line being dysfunctional. Someone from the Bulldogs was like, I really thought the Bulldogs would jump up more than this. And I was like, the problem is that the ratings are based on the league average. And the team at the top in Geelong had a really good backline week. And two of the teams at the bottom in Hawthorn and West Coast had really good backline weeks. So the average all shifted up.
Yeah, I look at those stats and I go, numbers.
Numbers.
I don't do that. I'm doing my own spreadsheet. Let me be.
I use what I can of what the AFL, the crumbs that we are allowed to catch. The little crumbs of data. Like, what are the score sources? And they're like, no score sources for you.
When they take away our contested defensive one-on-ones,
the podcast ends. That's it. If they take away contested defensive one-on-ones,
that means we'd have to watch North play Hawthorn? No.
We'd have to write them down one by one and not watch KO minis for bad games.
He's revealing the industry secrets.
I tried to watch that game.
Did we?
I did.
I think we were playing video games.
Yeah, we were. After we stopped watching when Ginnivan kicked his second goal.
Yeah, it was
also
over.
Ginnivan put the sleeves back on. I hate your little arms.
That's it. That's the end of the podcast. You're just slandering now.
Bye.